This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Very grave suffering, and we have tried for many years to just make contact. They just want a simple call or a letter or being able to visit their loved ones. That's all. And to learn that if they are safe and sound.
The U.S. president has once again called on Congress to move to curb access to guns following the mass shooting at a mall in Texas over the weekend. Joe Biden is seeking a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Biden also called for universal background checks and an end to immunity for gun manufacturers. On Saturday, a gunman went on a shooting spree at a busy mall north of the city of Dallas, killing 8 people and injuring 7 others. This comes as reports say the social media accounts of the shooter contain hundreds of posts with racially or ethnically motivated content and violent far-right rhetoric. The reports say the Dallas resident may have been linked to a white supremacist or neo-Nazi group. Now, the UK's anti-monarchists have criticized the heavy-handed policing of King Charles III's coronation. They say there is no longer a right to peaceful protests in Britain after dozens of protesters were arrested and detained into the night. The detainees included Graham Smith, who leads the anti-monarchy group known as the Republic. In a statement, Smith said his arrest was predetermined and would have occurred regardless of any evidence or action. He added that the arrests were not about protecting people from harm, but about protecting the king from embarrassment. London's Metropolitan Police said a total of 64 arrests were made during Coronation Day protests. The detainees' charges included breach of the peace and conspiracy to cause a public nuisance.
The one-of-a-kind, multi-billion-pound coronation is finally coming to an end. A 3-day ceremony which saw King Charles III crowned along with his wife Camilla. More than 2,000 guests, including world leaders, aristocrats, and celebrities, all participated in the event. Tens of thousands of people flooded the streets in London to see King Charles III formally crowned. Thousands saw the king receiving a royal salute from members of the military in the gardens of Buckingham Palace following his coronation. The coronation of King Charles III in London's historic Westminster Abbey was the first in the United Kingdom for 7 decades. Heavy police presence overshadowed the wealthy event. The London Metropolitan Police deployed more than 11,000 officers for one of their biggest ever security operations for the day of the coronation. For many, the coronation of King Charles III was maybe a lifetime event full of joy and days-long festivities as tens of thousands turned out to catch a glimpse of the newly crowned King Charles and Queen Camilla, who rode in a state coach back to Buckingham Palace after Saturday services at Westminster Abbey. But not everyone who came to watch the multi-billion-pound ceremony was there to cheer Charles. Thousands of people poured onto the streets to protest against the antiquated monarchical system.
Not my king! Not my king! Not my king!
My king! Not my king! Not my king!
Because I don't believe in hereditary monarchy, and I think this is costing a huge amount of money when lots of people are struggling, and the economy is falling apart, and the public services are awful, and we need to invest in that and not in Charles and his big party.
London's Metropolitan Police said in total, over 60 arrests were made on Saturday for what it called offenses including breach of the peace and conspiracy to cause a public nuisance. Those detained include leader of an anti-monarchist group, the Republic. Graham Smith criticized the policing of the coronation as heavy-handed, saying the arrests were not about protecting people from harm, but about protecting the kingdom from embarrassment.
The coronation comes at a time when Britain is grappling with numerous economic woes. This includes record high inflation that has led to months of strikes and protests. With many Brits struggling to make ends meet, the government is spending taxpayer money on a multi-million pound state ceremony.
The coronation of King Charles III comes as there is no budget revealed for the historic national state occasion. Some suggest that the ceremony could cost the nation between 50 to 100 million pounds. The government has so far refused to comment on the exact cost, making the amount of public funds spent on the festivities unknown. What is known, though, is that the multi-million pound coronation falls to taxpayers to foot the bill. Not only that, the coronation comes at a time when the country is gripped with protests and strikes in a dispute with the government over pay. Since last June, a huge number of workers have walked off their jobs, including teachers, civil servants, train and bus drivers, border officials and university staff, nurses, ambulance drivers, and staff at swath of government agencies, just to express that they can't literally make ends meet. With several waves of strikes sweeping the UK, the economy has been hit harder than initially expected. The UK inflation has experienced a 40-year high. That includes food prices, with some key ingredients seeing a steep rise of up to 50%, according to some detailed government data. The situation is to the extent where many people across the country are struggling to put food at the table. Furthermore, the UK financial woes have exacerbated the economic and social inequality there. That has prompted many to question the costly pomp and pageantry associated with the state-funded ceremony. A survey prior to the coronation showed that most of the British people simply did not want to pay for the costly event, and instead, they wanted the coronation to be funded by the royal family itself. Anti-monarchy activists say the cost is a slap in the face for millions of people who are struggling to meet their basic needs. Yet, they have to foot the bill in the form of taxes. Maybe that's why many across Britain see the monarchy as outdated and undemocratic, saying the coronation is a celebration of hereditary power and has no place in modern society. Maybe that's why many are worried that the coronation of a 74-year-old man will indirectly result in so many people going hungry.
Former British lawmaker Limbit Opik believes that the government has politicized the right to protests in the country.
The Black Lives Matter demonstrations again clearly broke the law, clearly broke the lockdown regulations, but apparently that didn't really matter. Meanwhile, those who are objecting, for example, to the mandatory vaccines, and it begins to look like they may have had a point, they were criticised. They were written off as racists and extremists and things like that. And looking at Extinction Rebellion, a bunch of fundamentalist anarchists, they can block central London for days on end, and even potentially cause a situation where people's lives are harmed or even ended because the emergency services can't get through, but that's all right too. In terms of the anti-monarchist demonstrations that you've described, it's almost as if the state is saying, you can be a Republican, but you can't tell anyone about it. In a free country, we should be willing to tolerate different points of view rather than simply oppress the right to say it. And incidentally, the same is true of the British media. The British media goes along with this as well. And anybody who thinks the BBC is impartial only needs to look at what they've said about the environment. Wherever you stand on it, there should be a right to protest about the mainstream. But instead, we now have this almost monolith from the media down to through to Downing Street, where you're told what you can object to.
And now to Germany, where recession fears mount as industrial production in Europe's top economy sees an unexpected decline. Official data shows production in manufacturing, energy and construction dropped 3.4% in March compared with the previous month. It swung from an upward increase of over 2% in February. The automotive industry was a major contributor to the recent drop. The automobile sector is a pillar of Germany's economy, and it is hammered by high energy prices following the outbreak of the war in Ukraine. Well, Kiev says Moscow has launched a massive swarm of drones at Ukrainian targets, including the capital. 60 drones were reportedly fired, 36 of them toward Kiev. Ukraine claims it shot all of them down, adding, however, that the debris hit apartments and other buildings, injuring at least 5 people. This has been the largest drone swarm by Russia in months. Moscow made the charge on the eve of the May the 9th holiday, celebrating the defeat of Nazi Germany in 1945. Many expected such an attack, which would be in response to the recent drone strike by Kiev, including the failed attempt on the Kremlin, which Russia said targeted President Putin. This is while fighting rages mainly in Kharkiv, Kherson, Odessa, and Bakhmut, with Russian forces firing rockets at Ukrainian positions. Well, the fifth edition of export capabilities of the Islamic Republic of Iran has kicked off in the Iranian capital of Tehran. Hundreds of foreign investors from different countries have participated in this year's event to assess opportunities for cooperation with Iranian companies. Mahdi Abbasian brings us more.
The fifth export potential exhibition of the Islamic Republic of Iran, dubbed Iran Expo 2023, has officially kicked off in the Iranian capital, Tehran. Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi inaugurated the exhibition. During his speech, Raisi hailed Iran's progress despite sanctions, saying Iranian scientists and industrialists have managed to make great achievements. He also said that the Iranian government has set a 40-year record exporting over $50 billion worth of commodities since August 2021, when his government came into power. Since the early hours of the opening, the exhibition salons were packed with investors and business people from every corner of the world. Representatives from 60 foreign countries have participated in this year's event. The UAE, Pakistan, Russia, Turkey, and China are among the countries taking part in the exhibition. There are a total of 750 domestic companies and representatives at the event that have put their products on display in different industrial, medical, and petrochemical areas, as well as home appliances and food industries. The fifth export potential exhibition of the Islamic Republic of Iran showcases the trade and investment opportunities in the country for foreign businessmen and entrepreneurs. The exhibition will be held from May 7th to 10th. Iranian officials have estimated that the expo will help add more than $2 billion to the country's export revenues.
Iran Expo 2023 provides a platform, a perfect platform for investment in non-oil industries of Iran. And the presence of thousands of people in this year's event highlights this fact. Mahdi Abbasian, Tehran.
Well, the death toll from flash floods in the Democratic Republic of Congo has more than doubled. According to local officials from the eastern flood-hit Kalahi region, the number of fatalities has risen to 401. Two villages in South Kivu province were inundated following days of torrential rain that also caused landslides. This has been the deadliest natural disaster in the Central African country, affecting nearly 9,000 people. And the government has called for 2 days of national mourning and has sent medicine and necessary supplies to the flood-stricken areas. And with that, brings us to the end of this Worldless Edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
The bustle of life. The sound of living. Only sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
When Iran and Syria recently inked a series of cooperation agreements, including a long-term strategic pact, the unease and frustration only grew in the power corridors of Washington. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Kahan International wrote in this regard, "It is celebration of victory over the devilish forces of dissension, destruction and destabilization. The Iranian president's historic trip to Damascus and the red carpet welcome accorded to him by his Syrian counterpart is actually a victory lap for the triumph of the resistance front over not just the most macabrely murderous terrorists, but also their most satanic supporters, especially the U.S. and the illegal Zionist entity. The recent historic meeting in Damascus between honored guest Dr. Sayed Ebrahim Raisi and the courteous host Assad, who again expressed his deepest gratitude for Iran's vital role in protecting the prestige and power of Syria, was however marked by the conspicuous absence of the main architect of the victory. Yes, the two presidents and their delegations rather felt sad in missing General Qasem Soleimani, a deft diplomat and a brilliant military strategist who was martyred in the most cowardly manner in January 2020 by the vanquished foe, the U.S., whose economic power, military might, sadistic savagery, and satanic sedition miserably failed to bring Syria to its knees." Anyway, so firmly did Soleimani's humanitarian efforts in laying foundations of regional stability in Lebanon, Syria, and other threatened countries included, have proved that today Tehran and Damascus, as backbones of the resistance front, which is fully confident of ending once and for all the Zionist threat, have jointly embarked upon solidifying not just political cooperation and economic industrial construction, but defense potential for the liberation of Palestine. As many as 15 agreements of cooperation in various fields have already been signed on the first day of the visit of President Raisi, who as thanksgiving will pay his humble respects in Damascus at holy shrines of Hazrat Zainab and Hazrat Ruqayyah, peace upon them, Prophet Muhammad's granddaughter and great-granddaughter respectively, in whose defense, along with the native Syrians, many Iranian, Iraqi, Afghan, and Pakistani Muslims achieved immortal martyrdom. President Raisi, hailing Iran-Syria relations as rich, fruitful, and full of experiences, said the mutual ties of the brotherly two countries are tied to the blood of our beloved martyrs, especially General Qasem Soleimani, and this is a key to the stability and strength of the relations between Tehran and Damascus. The two countries have also minced no words in calling for the end of U.S. occupation of some parts of Syria and withdrawal of all American forces from the region. Hopefully, decisively defeated Washing will heed this advice before it is too late. Or else, there will be no other choice for the resistance front other than send the uninvited soldiers back to their country in body bags. The Zionist regime, your days are numbered as well, as is evident by the Iranian president's interview recently with Lebanon's Al-Mayadeen TV. The Islamic Republic's power is not a secret to anyone. The Zionist regime's first potential act of folly against Iran would also be its last. Meanwhile, Press TV wrote in this regard, "Be angry and die of anger." Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson Nasser Kanani tweeted recently, taking a swipe at his American counterpart Vedant Patel using a famous Persian proverb, Patel told reporters in Washington recently that deepening ties between Tehran and Damascus should be of great concern, not just to the U.S. and its allies, but to the world. Of course, the anger of the evil regime, whose horn has been broken in Syria and the entire region by Iran, and the axis of resistance, and which must end its aggressive presence in Syria, is natural, Kanani wrote in response to Patel's remarks. Why are Americans feeling jittery and peeved over President Dr. Seyed Ebrahim Raisi's visit to Syria? The answer is simple. The U.S. military-industrial complex has faced a disgraceful defeat in Syria after years of propping up terrorist groups and mercenaries with the aim of dislodging President Bashar al-Assad. Recently, as President Raisi touched down in Damascus, 13 years after an Iranian president visited the Arab country last time, he went straight to meet his Syrian counterpart. Assad did not come out of an underground hole like Saddam Hussein, nor was he dragged out of a drain pipe like Muammar Gaddafi. He hosted the visiting official at his beautiful presidential palace. Unlike Saddam and Gaddafi, the Western allies who were eventually dumped, Assad had the backing of Iran and the resistance axis as he stood up to Western powers and their mercenaries. Iran does not betray its friends and allies, which was also acknowledged by Assad recently. You didn't only give us political and economic support, you supported us with your blood, Assad said during his meeting with President Raisi, thanking Iran for its firm and unwavering support. In response, Iran's president lauded the neighboring Arab country for achieving victory in war, despite threats and sanctions, while reaffirming Iran's continued support to Damascus. This is anathema to Americans because they worked so hard and invested too heavy in a project that was designed to overthrow the Assad government and install a Western rubber stamp. The hawks in Washington still haven't given up and live in denial about changing geopolitical dynamics. Arab countries, including U.S. allies, queuing up to normalize their ties with Syria. Patel told reporters recently that Biden administration has made clear to its partners and allies in the region that it does not support normalizing ties with Damascus. A day before, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken told his Egyptian counterpart that those engaging with the Assad government should weigh carefully how those efforts are addressing the needs of the Syrian people. As if American airstrikes and pillaging of resources are helping war-weary Syrians. The fact that Washington's Arab allies, including Egypt, have taken a series of measures in recent months aimed at rapprochement with Syria has made Blinken and his absent-minded boss jittery. Turkey, Syria, Iran, and Russia will be meeting in Moscow next week to take the normalization discourse forward, with a focus on restoring full diplomatic ties between Damascus and Ankara. There is already talk about major Persian Gulf economies, including Saudi Arabia, planning to invest in big infrastructure projects in the war-ravaged country as part of reconstruction efforts. Iran has already pledged its assistance to Bashar al-Assad government as it moves to rebuild the country devastated by the decades-long war imposed by the U.S. and its state and non-state allies. Kanani said at his weekly press conference recently, Syria is entering the reconstruction phase and Iran will stand by Syria during this phase too. In his meeting with Assad recently, President Raisi recalled the instrumental contribution of great martyrs, such as General Qasem Soleimani, in freeing the country from the grip of Daesh. Iran-Syria relations are tied to the blood of our dear martyrs, especially Martyr Haj Qasem Soleimani, and this name is the symbol of the stability and strength of the relations between the two countries, Iran's president was quoted as telling Assad. Just as the Islamic Republic stood by the Syrian government and nation in the fight against terrorism, it will also stand by its Syrian brothers in the field of development and progress, he said. These remarks, this brotherhood, and this camaraderie are a source of alarm for the United States and its allies, as well as the Zionist regime and mercenary groups it has backed in the Arab countries since 2011. That's precisely why Americans are angry, and they have every reason to be so.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two very special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Salim, assalamu alaykum to you.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Now, the main question for today's discussion is that all the people around the world know that according to the statistics, according to the data that is available, a genocide has been taking place, as is taking place, in the occupied land of Palestine by the Israeli. But still, America and its allies remain silent about this case. From one side, they talk about peace and peace talk and negotiations or something like that. From the other side, this genocide is happening. So many children have been killed all around the world. Not only the Muslims feel responsible and committed to oppose Israel, so many NGOs around the world, so many freedom seekers, you know, are also in the same field. Sayyid Mohsen, what is the main reason that the superpowers of the world remain silent against this genocide?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, when we talk about the superpowers and what they're doing, basically, we need to know that one of the characteristics of the superpowers is that they do not look at the rights of the others. Mm-hmm. They ignore the rights of the others and they just follow their own goals. They just want to achieve their own goals, what they have aimed. Since the Zionist regime is plotted by these superpowers in the area, in this land, so why they plotted this Zionist regime? In order to fulfill their own goals, in order to achieve their own goals. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to achieve their own goals, these arrogant powers, if their plotted people or their plotted, we can say like agents, if they commit any kind of sin, terrorism, I don't know, killing, genocide, they will close their eyes on it.
Okay.
On the other hand, if there is a resistance, they will quickly speak out. They will quickly talk about it. They will oppose the resistance against these things. So one of the main reasons is because the Zionist regime is being plotted by these, we can say, arrogant powers. That's why the characteristics of arrogant powers is that they close their eyes on the rights of the others.
Okay.
This is one of the main reasons. And that's why if you see in Kashmir, I don't know, if you see in Yemen, you see Palestine specifically, because we're talking about the Zionist regime, all these genocide that is happening, you know, the superpower or so-called superpower or the arrogant powers like US, they have closed their eyes. Even NATO. You know, they even are not reacting on this, whereas mm-hmm. they have to save. But they're obviously following their own goals as well. They have their own interests, and through those interests, they are fulfilling their interests through these agents, which are plotted at different places.
Right now, we know that Israeli protesters vow to stay put until Netanyahu's canceled judicial reform is called scrapped. You know, that's all right. The country is really in chaos. So many people are, we can say, out in Israel against the administration of Netanyahu. So I think it could not even satisfy its own people. I mean, inside the occupied land, this is the big problem for them they are facing. But brothers, Salem, what do you think the main reason is that the superpowers and so many organizations, I mean, for example, the UN is the first, I think, victim, okay, first great victim over here, remains silent. Of course, here and there, they give us different addresses of the genocide, not killing here and there. But look at just the footage and the videos and the pictures of how many children are being killed in Palestine. Why remaining silent?
I think the reason, first reason, all of these, we have to follow the history mm-hmm. of the United Nations. Before the United Nations, we had League of Nations.
Yes.
The League of Nations after the World War One.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened there, the control of the world depend on America. The America who selected and the America who bribed other nations to stay with him. That's why they have divided Europe to Eastern and Western. So anyone who was Eastern one tried the America, what we call United Nation, but this is originally America, it's not United Nation.
Okay.
And this is one side. Another side, all what we have now as a government around the world is not selected by the people.
Mm-hmm.
What 100% to be accepted by the nations. Or the nation of that government.
Yes.
So they have an agent inside of the government.
Yes.
Since the agents of Judaism or the agents of the Zionists are yes. inside of these governments, the government will stay quiet.
Okay.
Why? Because there are some agreement within them. Behind these, what happening now, societies and what we call genocides.
Yes.
Because themselves, they have societies in the
yes.
in their what in their culture to kill yourself. They are killing themselves sometime. And it is simple to kill someone since you have not what a special moral
mm-hmm.
or you can say that there is a religion which stopped this or there is an agreement to do this and to don't do that because we have the freedom what they believe in. So you can kill whomever you want since there is what benefits. And that's when right. you will
okay.
Refer to the economics again idea, the economics idea that has been replaced by Adam Smith.
Yes.
You can what into other country, you can bomber them, you can control them since the benefits are in that land. And you have to do that in your what? In the favor of your existence.
Yes.
Otherwise, they will overcome you. So we have to kill them. If we will not kill them, they will overcome us. And the place now like has been blocked. Israel are blocked or Judaism are blocked there. We are in Palestine. If we will leave them to say, okay, don't kill people. After that, we have to remove you from what? From the leadership and we have to replace another one else. Okay, now maybe we'll spread this power or this Judaism in another countries, maybe in Western, maybe in another way else. To stop this, okay, is good. Just stay there. You want to kill them, but stay there.
That's right.
Yeah, that is what I believe in. Maybe there are another ideas why Said can explain more yeah. about the issue.
Not only the genocide is taking place against the Israeli children and the people over there. So many, for example, journalists have been killed. The latest case, which was very important, was Shirin Abu Akleh, okay? Abu Akleh, that was killed over
journalist.
There. Yeah, the journalist of Al Jazeera, okay? She was killed over there just because of covering the news and analyzing the news against the Palestinians over there. But still, we could see the world is silent. You know, nothing is happening. Nothing. Nobody has been killed. No, nothing. And just consider that, for example, this case has been taking place in the other lands, like, for example, the U.S. or the U.K. or this and that.
Oh, Ukraine.
Or Ukraine, yeah. Yes. What would happen? Or Russia, for example. I don't know. When is the time to be awake, Sayed? I mean, the big awake.
Well, obviously, for the Muslim land, it is an alarming situation. Uh-huh. The reason is Quran has stated the clear statement about the, you know, the leaders of the Muslim land that he must be muttaqi. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Obviously, the best of you amongst the Allah is the near Allah is the one who God varies.
Okay.
On the other hand, obviously, we have the concept of infallible leader to lead the whole land, mm-hmm. which is the authority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since in today's world, we have different countries as a Muslim countries, and it's been divided. On top of that, everyone is seeking their own goal or the targets that they have, and they want to remain in power. That's why they are no more, we can say, like those who should basically lead the Muslim lands. Now, when they're in the power, they want to remain in power, and for that, they are linked with the arrogance power. Yes. They are obviously, you know, they rely on them.
Yes.
When you hear such things, what do you expect?
Yeah.
What do you expect? So there are many other reasons. Yeah. But the main reason is that in today's world, the Muslim lands, unfortunately, are led by, led by people who do not deserve to be the leaders of the Muslim Ummah.
Okay.
And that's why Zionist regime or regime like Zionism is making, you know, good relations with them, opening their own embassies in yes. these countries, which shows us that they do not give any, you know, any, we can say, like, importance to the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
But they're after money, they're after power. On the other hand, so the capitalism in its real meaning is in these countries.
Establishment of Arab-Israel ties, you know, what was taking place. From day one after Islamic Republic of Iran was founded, the late Imam Khomeini has always addressed the issue of Palestine as not only an important case for the Muslims, but whole freedom seekers, all the people who are justice seekers around the world. This has enlightened a kind of new light in the hearts of the people, not only the Muslims, but so many people all around the world. But it's still the same question. Why so many Muslim lands? Because one of the main slogans of Islam must be defending the rights of the oppressed, of the mazlumin all around the world, mustazafin around the world. So why, as Sayyid said, hand in hand with the superpowers, some of the Muslim lands are, Brother Salah?
When we compare the Islam in Iran before revolution of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, and after revolution, this will be understood as well. Now we have to compare the old one government with the new one, which we have now, Islamic government in Iran.
Yes.
This looks like the same thing happens in those Islamic countries. Islamic countries now is like Islamic country of Iran before Imam Khomeini.
Mm-hmm.
The culture of Islam is in the mind, but the government against of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So it can affect the people. Idea, the people or understanding of what of Islam, what is Islam, what is the real of Islam, what is the really Islam, what we say in English.
Yes.
So they will say we are Muslim, but they think the Islam or the Muslim should just go to pray and fast and give zakat maybe for those Shia homes.
Yes.
And this is enough.
Okay.
So many people in the world who we call them Muslims are Muslim by the names.
Okay.
By their names only. And they are not be affected by really the basis of Islam. And they don't know what is really Islam says about being Muslim. It's just because we have the kind of types of what we call performing namaz, or yes. say praying yes. or fasting, or all of these. These are you with what? With your God.
Yes.
And we have another thing, you with other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Nahjul Balagha, yes. the people are like you sometime as what? As a human being, and others are brother of you as what? As a Muslim like you. So according to this idea, how you are God to act to your brother if something happened to him, and how you will act if there is someone is not your brother as what? A brother, as a Muslim brother,
yes, yes, yes.
but is a brother of what?
Yes.
Of kind of you. You have the same kind of what? Humanity. It's a human being.
We have Jabhatul Haq, Jabhatul Batil. Of course, Jabhatul Haq is also active, you know, on his own side, regardless of the race, language, religion, or anything. The late Imam Khomeini's wish is becoming true, inshallah. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Brother Salim, for a nice elaboration.
Yeah.
And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Palestine will be free.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. No father to wipe away my tears. That's why I will cry. I feel scared, but I won't show my fears. I keep my head high, deep in my heart. I never have any doubt. The Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Limelight.
New public health research on U.S. women's prisons
exposes medical neglect, sexual violence, and inhumane living conditions. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Truthout, the COVID-19 pandemic brought to the fore the public health crises unfolding in carceral settings across the United States. In California, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, CDCR, has documented more than 90,000 cases in state prisons, with more than 3,500 of those cases in women's prisons. People incarcerated in women's prisons have reported alarming neglect in CDCR's handling of the pandemic, including months spent in quarantine units, and the denial of the toilet paper, phone calls, cleaning supplies, and showers. But the health harms of incarceration existed long before the COVID-19 and continue to exist now. The recent research included interviewing and surveying people who are currently incarcerated in California's two remaining women's prisons, Central California Women's Facility, CCWF, and California Institution for Women, CIW. The findings paint a dire picture of people facing medical neglect, sexual violence, discrimination, and inhumane living conditions while incarcerated. In some ways, California's incarcerated population mirrors national social patterns. Due to the racism of the criminal legal system, 929 people in California's women's prisons were black in 2022. This is 25% of the prison population, while black people make up only 6.5% of California's total population. Furthermore, 83% of the survey respondents reported having an illness, injury, or disability, and 55% reported having three or more health conditions needing care. Ableism shapes how disabled people are policed, socioeconomically marginalized, and discriminated against in both the medical and legal sectors, leading disabled people to be disproportionately incarcerated. Indeed, studies show an estimated 66% of the incarcerated population in the U.S. is disabled, an estimated 40.4% with a psychiatric disability, and an estimated 56% with a non-psychiatric disability. Specifically, estimations show that a higher percentage of people incarcerated in women's prisons reported disability, 79.5%, compared with people incarcerated in men's prisons, 64.6%. This is particularly troubling considering medical neglect is characteristic of incarceration. They found that 66% of the survey respondents reported that medical staff did not properly treat them. 60% reported that medical staff did not investigate the cause of their medical condition, and 51% reported that medical staff did not order diagnostic tests. Additionally, an alarming 40% of the survey respondents reported experiencing reproductive abuse, such as coerced sterilization or an untreated reproductive health issue while imprisoned. Several respondents shared that they woke up from unrelated surgeries to find that their ovaries or uterus had been removed. One woman said that she was waiting for paperwork from a surgery 2 years prior to find out if she was sterilized. This is part of a long and sordid history of marginalized Californians facing reproductive abuse. Last year, Governor Gavin Newsom allocated funds for a new program to compensate survivors of a state-sponsored sterilization, acknowledging the state's shameful past. The research found that such injustices still occur today in the U.S., and the governor has the opportunity and obligation to address them further. Also, according to China Daily, U.S. state and federal prisons saw deaths surging nearly 50% during the first year of the pandemic, and in six states, they more than doubled. The New York Times reported recently, citing the first comprehensive data on prison facilities in the era of COVID-19. The U.S. Daily said the tremendous jump in deaths in 2020 was more than twice the increase in the United States overall and even exceeded estimates of the percentage increase at nursing homes among the hardest hit sectors nationwide. While there was ample evidence that prisons were COVID hotspots, the data underscored how quickly the virus rampaged through crowded facilities and how an aging inmate population, a correctional staffing shortage, and ill-equipped medical personnel combined to make prisoners especially vulnerable during the worst public health crisis in a century, according to the report. COVID infections drove the death totals, but inmates also succumbed to other illnesses, suicide and violence, according to the data, which was collected by law school researchers at the University of California, Los Angeles. Altogether, at least 6,182 people died in American prisons in 2020, compared with 4,240 the previous year, even as the country's prison population declined to about 1.3 million from more than 1.4 million, the report said.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.